It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
If you know my style, my approach to life, it's not really given a lot of fucks, okay? And this episode is not to trigger someone, it's not to offend somebody, it's to get past the BS that's being pushed nowadays, right? A lot of stuff in this very sensitive, fragile world where security and safety and comfort and all around happiness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God forbid you're sad, angry, or anxious, kind of world that we're living in. It's a bubble world, right? We want no one to be offended. We want no one to be sad. We want no one to have hurt feelings. We want everyone to be completely protected with no possibility of external pain being accrued through other people, right? But that's not the reality of life, right? At the end of the day, as human beings, we compare ourselves, maybe too much so, we can say, yes, but we're a growth species, right? If we're not growing, we are dying, just like a plant. If a plant's not growing, it's dying. So what's changing here? Why is there such a massive push to keep people from bettering their situation, from actually improving their situation, giving people control? For one, it's pretty damn simple. Big government, society, big business, they don't want us to feel empowered, right? And this is not a conspiracy theory. This is fact, right? Nobody wants, well, the world, let's just say, as a whole, they want for the majority to be employees, right? They want people to fall in line. They want people to listen to what they're saying. They want control and they want power, right? When you start empowering people and getting them to think for themselves, to think in a critical fashion, to think about how you, by yourself, can actually improve your situation and create more financial freedom, more wealth, more success, more happiness for yourself, the less dependent you are on big government, right? And politicians and these power-hungry individuals and businesses in the world, right? They want to keep you in check. I think that's very clear, especially over the last 2 years. It was very evident. They want you to feel powerless. They want you to feel like you need them. Like there's one solution. Whenever in time, you know, I'm not a history buff here, but has there been only one solution, one alternative to a problem, right? Over the last 2 years, that's what was pushed. There was no narrative, no speech, no conversation about what you can do to actually empower yourself. It was be dependent on this one thing that in fact doesn't actually work as well as we're claiming, as the narrative is now conveniently changing to fit their narrative, right? It was not an empowering message. It was not an opportunity to improve your health, to improve your status, to make you healthier individuals. And this was a perfect time to do so. This was literally the perfect time to say, hey, guess what? There is an 80% increase in you dying from a disease when you're obese. Want to know how to fix that? Why was that not a conversation? Why is that a bad thing to say? Wouldn't you want to know if you could reduce chances of death by 80% for this particular disease? Isn't that a good thing to know? Why are we hiding from that? But that wasn't the conversation. Like, it sounds ridiculous when you actually think about it. If there was something that could reduce your chances of getting a potentially mortality-producing disease, wouldn't you want to know what you could do to actually prevent that instead of just saying, give me a jab, give me a third jab, give me a fourth jab, give me a jab for the rest of my life until you say I don't need a jab anymore? No, but that conversation was not had. It was not promoted, right? So we're pushing. We're in this space now where that's becoming more evident than ever, right? We don't want people to feel empowered. We don't want people to have personal autonomy. We don't want people to feel like they have the resiliency to push through it themselves. We want our people, not my people, their people. They want their people to feel dependent, to feel helpless, to feel powerless, to feel like, oh, Big Daddy government is going to help you out. It is a sad world right now, right? Based on that. So the good news is people like myself, you know, free thinker, I got my free platform. You know what? I don't need to be controlled or told what to do. I can't really be fired. It's good stuff. So I'm allowed to have my voice. I'm allowed to share my opinion. I'm allowed to be objective, right? I try to be, obviously. You know, we all have the opportunity to be objective. Many people are not, but I am objective, right? I want to, you know, call a spade, and I want to highlight how this narrative is really just becoming ridiculous, right? It is a massive overcorrection, like we've been doing over the last 2 years, if not longer, right? We overcorrect to make sure the minority feel safe, they feel comfortable, they feel good, they don't feel triggered or attacked, right? But in doing so, we literally screw over not only that individual subconsciously, but we screw over everybody else that's actually trying to improve their well-being and just live a life where they're happy, they're focused on betterment, they're growing, they're actually creating a more fulfilling life, right? Wouldn't that be a great world where people are actually taking personal responsibility and directly improving their life through their lifestyle choices, their habits, their rituals, their behaviors, the way they structure their life, what they're consuming, what they're not consuming? No, we're told to fear something, we're told to live life this way, and the majority, unfortunately, maybe it's a small majority now, maybe it's actually a small minority. The news would make you think it's the fucking 90% of the world that's thinking like this. I think not. I'd like to think that it's definitely changing based on the craziness and the misinformation over the last 2 years. But even so, we're in a point now that we're going to directly talk about fat acceptance. And the idea, and this sparked from me seeing a video from Lizzo recently, okay? And again, I'm not attacking her. I'm not attacking her for being obese or being fat. I could really care less about how you live your life, right? If you are happy, if you are thriving and you're obese, do you, right? It really doesn't bother me all that much. Now, if you're becoming a burden on society, and I know, you know, obviously obese people cost us a lot of money, right? From medical procedures and having to take care of these individuals. So I'm that does technically bother me. But at the end of the day, if you're happy and doing life, do you, right? But what happens is this overcorrection, where we're not only accepting, we are now glorifying being morbidly obese, which Lizzo is. Like when I saw this video of her, I don't know if it's a music video, but she's climbing into a private jet. And I'm like, yo, this chick is, I didn't know it was Lizzo. I remember Lizzo being kind of big, but now she's fucking huge, right? And it seems like she's getting bigger and bigger. She's doubling and tripling down on gaining weight here to be like, hey, see me, fat acceptance is great. I'm going to get even fatter every single year now. It's getting kind of ridiculous, right? And what we're doing and what they're trying to do is say, you know, don't ridicule us, right? Individuals that choose to be obese because we're happy with that. We're accepting of that. And you see this weird, you know, dichotomy of someone like Adele, who was overweight. She admittedly struggled through, you know, depression and anxiety and stress, and obviously just not being in a good spot emotionally and spiritually, mentally and physically, right? And then she ended up losing the weight. She looks like a completely different person, way healthier, and seems like she's in a much more stable position, as she claims. And that was almost kind of shit on. Like, how dare you actually do something that made you feel better, that actively made you feel better, right? Like, you did this empowering thing where not only do you look way better, right? Let's just, you know, call it what it is. Looks way more attractive now, but she's healthier, right? She probably has less joint pain. She probably has less stress, less inflammation on the body. She can do things that she wants to do. She has confidence, you know, is radiating off of her. And then you have this other side. She gets shit on for that, you know? God forbid you actually change your life for the better, right? How dare you be proactive and action-oriented? Then you have Lizzo, who's, like I said, tripling down on this fat acceptance approach to life. And what's the message? What are you trying to do here? What are you trying to say? What's the intent? That's what I'm confused about, right? I'm not saying don't love yourself. I'm not saying hate yourself because you're overweight or obese. Of course not. But why are we pushing a narrative where you're literally going to shorten your lifespan dramatically, that you are going to live in a manner where you have constant ligament and joint pain, where your sleep is affected, where you will have greater, higher levels of stress, of anxiety and depression, where you're going to have most likely some comorbidity, whether it is diabetes or heart disease or a heart attack or what, or just constant chronic inflammation in the body, right? You're going to live in a state where you have less energy, that you're less mobile, less flexible, not as strong, not healthy. You know, you're going to create insulin resistance, right? You're going to do a lot of damage to your hormones, to your mental state. Like, why is this a narrative that we're not trying to push against, right? Like, aren't we trying to live in a world where we empower people, that we want people to feel healthier, to be healthier, to feel stronger, to feel more capable, to feel more confident? So we actually create innovation, we create impact, we create motivation, inspiration, right? We have less of a burden on our medical system. Like, isn't that a good place to be? So let's do a little bit of homework here, right? I didn't come here unprepared, obviously. It's not just me ranting away. But there's a study from out of the National Institute of Health, right? So extreme obesity may shorten life expectancy up to 14 years. That's the headline. Pretty substantial. 14 years of actually shortening someone's life expectancy. So what would constitute extreme obesity? So overweight, we're going to look at body mass index, BMI, right? So overweight is between 25 and 29. Now, there is a little bit of a gray area, because someone like myself who has a little bit more muscle mass and weight for my height, you know, it might show me have a higher BMI even though I'm around like 10 or 8% body fat, right? So that can be a little bit misdirected. But for the majority of people that, let's just say, they don't have a lot of muscle mass, we're looking at someone overweight, 25 to 29 BMI. Class 1 obesity has a BMI of 30 to 34.9. Class 2 obesity, 35 to 39.9 BMI. And class 3 obesity has a 40 plus body mass index, okay? So extreme obesity would be looking at a class 2 or a class 3. Class 3, that's 100%, that is extreme obesity, 40 plus BMI. So the good thing is this meta-analysis actually was done with over 20 large studies across 3 different countries. So pretty versatile study as well, okay? So we're looking at a 14-year life-shortening due to extreme obesity. Now, the average lifespan is 72.6 years. So if we're looking at 14 years off of 72.6 years, let's do a nice round number of 72 years, we're down to 58 years old. That extreme obesity can actually cut your life short by that much, where you die at 58 years old when the average is 72.6. Now, even if we're not going to that high end of 14, and let's just say there's a lot of studies that support 6 and 8 years of shortening your life, well, that's still 66. Pretty young, right? When you think about your situation, you might be around 58 right now. Imagine dying in 8 years. And you have parents that are like 64. My parents, 64, 65 this year. Like, they're moving around, they're active, they're energetic. Like, they don't look like they're going to die in 2 years, right? Let alone should have died 6 years ago, right? Which extreme obesity has shown to do. So pretty crazy, right? Then you have this different study out of the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. It's a 2018 study there. And they looked at 5 healthy habits to extend life expectancy by 14 years for women and 12 by men. So now if we really do the math, it's not just like you're losing out on 14 years of your life because you were extremely obese or overweight. And you're like, well, I would have lived to 72, but I died at 58 or died at 66. No. When you really factor in, if you actually took care of your health, and I'm sure 72.6 years is just for the average person that doesn't really overly abuse certain vices, but they don't actively pursue a healthy life, right? If you think about the average 72-year-old, you know, if they're dying at that age, they're not all that healthy or active. Like, they're not a specimen of physical fitness, of course, right? Like, you know, I have my grandparents living into their 90s. Even them, they didn't really do anything active, and they're not these big fitness gurus, right? or health enthusiasts, and they're living to their 90s. So I'm sure 72.6 years across the board, when you take in people that are obese dying at, you know, 55 and 58 compared to the people that are living till 80, 85, that's where you find that, you know, 72.6 year average lifespan. So imagine that. So now you actually incorporate five healthy habits that we're going to get into, and now you can actually increase your lifespan for your woman by 14, for your man by 12. So now we're looking at 72.6 years. You add these five healthy habits, women are living at 86 on average. Men are living at 84. Now, we go back to the extreme obesity case and the 14-year reduction in lifespan. We're down to 58 years. We compare that to the 86-year-old woman with those five healthy habits. That is a 28-year difference. So you're not just shortening your life by 14 years or 5 years or 8 years if you're morbidly or extremely obese, or a class one or class two obesity, right? It's not just the 8 or 14 years. If you chose to go in the opposite direction and not abuse your body and actually took care of your body with these five healthy habits, which really are not very difficult to implement, you could increase your lifespan upwards of 86 to 84 years old, depending if you're man or woman, right? I'm confident I'm gonna be spry and vigor up until I'm, and vibrant until I'm like 90. That's the hope. That's the goal, to 100. Like, I really don't see myself slowing down, because I'm going to apply every single one of these strategies. I'm going to do all I can socially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, professionally, and physically to be engaged, to be productive, and to really hack my system to live a long, healthy life, right? So it's pretty crazy, right? It's not just the 14, 8-year lifespan shortening. You take in consideration the people that actually pursue these healthy habits. Now we're looking at like a 30-year gap of you shortening your life. So now we have someone like Lizzo, for example, who's doing this whole fat acceptance. And it's great to live your life like you don't give a fuck. It's great to live your life like you can just eat whatever you want, and you should totally be okay with chronic pain, looking in the mirror and going, oh my God, how the hell did I get to this point, right? Not feeling comfortable in a bathing suit. Not feeling comfortable getting out of your car, getting out of your bed, having no energy to do the things that you want to do. Because not everyone's living life like Lizzo, who can go on a fucking private jet. No, the average person has to squeeze in next to someone in an airplane, and they're uncomfortable for 2 to 4 hours, right? That's not fun. That's uncomfortable. And now because you have all this weight on you, right? Your joints are all inflamed. You have tons of internal tension on your body. You have a tough time sleeping because you can't breathe as effectively. You're snoring like crazy. You're sweating. Like, there's so many factors that we just go ignore it, just move past and eat whatever the hell you want and live the life that you want to live, right? Without taking in consideration all the other factors of how you can improve your quality of life and overall well-being. Right? And that's my problem, right? We have this overcorrection where it's not, hey, love yourself, but there's a lot of ways to take care of your health so you not only increase your lifespan, that you live longer, but you increase your health span, which equates to your quality of life. Because I don't give a shit if I live to 90 or live to 60 if my health sucks, right? If I constantly have this internal tension in the body, I'm constantly inflamed, I'm constantly having to take shots or go to doctor's appointments, or I'm sick and I'm ill and I have no energy and I feel like shit all the time, right? I really don't care too much about how long I live at that point, because my quality of life isn't all that good, right? I don't want to be dependent on somebody pushing me around, right? I don't want to feel like I have to live my life this way because I can't actually get up and move myself in a manner that, you know, dictates the way I want to live life, right? That's not fun to me. So what we got to really talk about is the quality of life that we're giving up by just saying, accept yourself as you are, and not just accept yourself, but go on the extreme end and absolutely abuse your body. Because here's how I'm proven wrong, okay? There's two ways I'm proven wrong. That Lizzo lives to 90 years old, right? And she's thriving, she's doing well, all that good stuff. And then maybe I go, okay, Lizzo lived her way of life and she lived a long life. She lived it to its, you know, fullest excitement because she's eating whatever she wants and she's doing whatever she wants. Fantastic. Now, I would definitely debate the idea that I still wouldn't be proved wrong at that point, because let's look at the quality of her life. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Lizzo, the trajectory she's on, she's going to die in her, you know, late 40s, late 50s, right? Like, that's just the facts of life. Like, she's going to suffer through a lot of shit, and there's going to be a lot of health scares and a lot of health problems. Absolutely, right? Because she's not doing the five healthy habits, which we'll get into shortly, right? But there's also the factor that she's promoting this lifestyle to her fans, millions and millions of fans that look up to her, that go, yeah, it's okay to let myself go and be morbidly obese, without the understanding of self-empowerment and teaching young women and young men that might be actually fans of hers as well to live life in a manner where you do feel more confident, that you do feel more productive, that you do feel more energized, and that you don't have to be dependent on other people and other motivations, right? And that you do feel healthy, and that you feel like you can actually live life in a manner that is aligned with your overall values, and you don't feel held back because you literally are held back from how heavy you are. Like, there's no one out there that can debate me on the fact that when you're 300 pounds compared to when you're a healthy 150 as a female, that your life is not going to be dramatically different, all things equal, or better, sorry, right? If you're 150 pounds and you strength train, you take care of your health, and you eat a nutrient-dense diet, and you exercise, and you maintain a healthy weight, and you don't abuse substances, you're going to be way more productive, you're going to be way more successful, performance is going to go up, you're going to have way more drive, you're going to have less anxiety, less mood swings, less chance of depression, less pain in the body, more energy, all that stuff, compared to the 300-pound woman with all other things equal, right? It's just a dramatic difference of quality of life at that point. So that's my issue, right? And this is where we've gone into this overcorrection of pushing something, pushing a narrative just to make people feel good about themselves. Where for me, I look at it differently. I look at it as disempowering to say you are good as you are, you have nothing to fix. Because here's the problem. The majority of people look at themselves in the mirror, and this is the majority of people, and they say, I don't like the person that I see. Simply telling that person to love thyself is very short-sighted bullshit advice, right? It's not good enough. It's lazy advice, and that's what it is. I think that's my biggest issue. It's lazy advice. It's like saying, I'm broke, but look in the mirror and say, no, I'm a success, while you live paycheck to paycheck and you struggle to pay your bills and you watch your family live in a very minimal manner because you're too lazy to make more money, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do to people. We're trying to tell broke, we're trying to basically do this. Tell someone who's poor to look in the mirror and say, no, I'm in a great position, I'm happy where I am, and I have nothing to improve. It's like, why should we do that? That person feels limited. They feel dependent. They're struggling. They're 100% stressed about what they can't do. They're 100% stressed about, well, what if shit hits the fan and I can't pay my bills? They're 100% stressed about not giving their family or themselves the life that they imagined for themselves. And that hurts them, right? Because they're not growing. They are literally just floating through life. And I don't care who you are, but that is not going to be good for your mental state. It's not going to be good for your emotional state. And it's definitely not going to be good for your physical state, because you're going to try to escape that reality with different distractions and different vices. And we're doing the same thing with obese people now, right? In this fat acceptance movement, we're saying, love the way you are, keep abusing your body, keep treating your body like it's a garbage can, right? Don't worry about how it actually makes you feel, right? Just keep filling yourself with more food and more distractions to the point that you try to forget about the things that you actually want to improve and how it could actually make you feel like a more empowered individual. So for me, it's like, why wouldn't you go out and say, hey, you are in 100% control of how you feel. And how you look and how you feel are very closely connected, right? If you look good, if you feel good, you're going to perform better. You're going to take more chances. The studies show it. There's more risk at that point. People are more willing, to take risk at that point. They're more willing to stand out on a limb, to pursue opportunities when they have confidence and they feel empowered and they don't feel like their success or their wealth is dependent on somebody else. And this is what we should be pushing. That, hey, like, no, every situation, if you want more money, you have the capability to make more money. If you want financial freedom, you have the capability of becoming financially free. If you want to be physically fit and healthy and thrive and have the energy to take on amazing opportunities, more opportunities, more tasks, handle your money better, you know, create a thriving business, you have the capabilities to do so. But there's prerequisites to that. You know, you can't struggle to pull yourself out of bed. You can't struggle to get in front of an audience or in front of your employees, right? And ask them to perform at their best when you're unable to do so. You don't believe it yourself, right? And you see it directly in front of you, right? You're experiencing it every single day. So for me, I feel like this is a complete disempowering message. We've gone way too far, right? We've completely neglected the fact that you are basically making people's quality of life way worse. We're not taking into consideration, and the numbers are there. There's a reason that depression is at an all-time high and obesity is at an all-time high, right? There's a correlation. Obese people, they eat certain foods to get obese, and they're over-consuming foods to get obese. This has a direct effect not only on your gut microbiome, but also your mental health. There is a connection. The gut is seen as your second brain. So what you eat creates what you think and who you are. So think that those two things are separate is ignorant. That's an uneducated understanding of how food and what you drink and what you consume, whether it be visually or through a digestive aspect, affects how your body feels, how you think, and how you ultimately perform and live life. There is a direct correlation behind this, right? So again, let's push the habits of high performers. Let's push the habits of people living and extending their life expectancy. Now, going back to those five healthy habits, what were they? A diet high in plants. 2, exercising at moderate to vigorous levels for several hours a week. 3, maintaining a healthy body weight. 4, not smoking. 5, consuming no more than one alcoholic beverage per day. So you do those things, not only do you surpass the 72.6 years of average lifespan, right? But your quality of life is surely going to improve as well, to the point where, yeah, you can actually live to see and spend time with your grandkids. And you can see your kids, if you have some, grow up and create success and impact in their life. That you can be not a burden on them. They don't have to pick you up. They don't have to drive to you because you can't drive yourself to these people and you don't have the energy to drive yourself to these people and you don't have to be driven around to different hospitals or picked up from different hospitals or get an insulin injection, right? No, they're not worried about you. And again, selfishly, when you abuse your body this way, you put a major stress on your loved ones because they know it. They know that you're shortening your lifespan. They know that you are not going to be here for long. They know that they're going to lose you sooner than they have to, potentially 30 years sooner, right? For me, if I saw my mom getting morbidly obese or my dad getting morbidly obese or someone I love getting morbidly obese, I would immediately step in and say, what's going on? Because I know at that point, if they're filling this void with food and gaining a bunch of weight, something's not going good in their life, right? They're stress eating. Maybe they're not all that happy with where they are financially or personally or professionally, and they're looking for a distraction, and that distraction comes in the form of food, right? It comes in the form of not being connected, not being present, not being engaged to what the real issue is. And they're trying to distract themselves in a very simple fashion, in a quick fashion, a very convenient fashion, which happens to be food for a lot of people, right? But I would 100% step up, because I would say, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to have to bury you far sooner than you should have been buried, right? I don't want to see you go through life in this abusive manner, right? Because it is a form of abuse at that point. You getting morbidly obese, that's a form of abuse to yourself, right? That's telling yourself, I don't love myself to take care of myself. I don't love myself to be the best version of myself for those around me. To make that selfish decision, I think, is really selfish, because you're not thinking about how it affects everybody else in your life. You are thinking about yourself when you're making this fast choice to rectify a problem that you're not willing to actually internally fix, right? You're neglecting the root cause of the issue. So for me, we need to think about these things because they're real. Ask anybody, if someone in their family is going through an illness or they're struggling based on their weight or, you know, some sort of disease or illness that could have been prevented, it's a burden on the family, right? And it's stress on everybody involved, right? And again, if you want to be so ignorant, so stubborn to say, no, me being morbidly obese makes my life better, it's bullshit, right? Because it doesn't. It might make you feel better in the moment when you have that overabundance of chocolate cake or the 4 plates of sushi when you shouldn't have. But after the fact, what happens? In the next 23 hours, what happens to your sleep? What happens to your mood? What happens to your digestion? What happens to the way you think? What happens to you physically, right? They don't make you a better performer in life. They hinder your performance. Right? And this is just the fact of life. So we do have to do a much better job of really understanding the space, understanding how one thing affects another, right? And giving better, more empowering advice to those in our communities and those around us, right? And if anybody's offended by the idea that we've gone too far with fat acceptance, it's because they themselves don't want to fix what's not working. They want to do the easy thing. The easy thing is to say, well, I'm happy being poor. I'm happy working in a factory. I'm happy being morbidly obese. I'm happy feeling like shit. Like, that's not good enough. That's lazy thinking. It's a mediocre way or mediocre approach to life. And it's doing you absolutely no good. Trust me when I say, when you pursue growth, when you take action, when you actually get stronger, when you feel more capable, when you're personally going out and doing things that are challenging, that you're growing from, that you're becoming more successful around, and you're seeing this work ethic and this discipline and this independence pay off, it's attractive to people. It's attractive to yourself. You start looking at yourself differently. You start looking at yourself as a disciplined, hardworking, action-oriented individual who can accomplish anything, right? It's not, it goes outside the realm of just physicality at that point and with your physical health. It starts seeping into all areas of your life because you start seeing yourself in a completely different lens. You see yourself as someone that can accomplish anything when you put your mind to it. But when you put your blinders on and do something that provides you immediate gratification but that doesn't actually rectify the root cause, you are giving yourself a pattern recognition of saying to yourself, I can't control my circumstances. I need to find a vice to distract me. And now you, not only does that mess you up physically, you start looking at, well, I can't change my financial state, right? I don't have the capabilities or the confidence or the discipline or the work ethic to do that. Man, I'm always going to be making the $60,000 or the $40,000. How am I ever going to get out of debt? How am I ever going to prosper in life? How am I ever going to be financially free or wealthy, right? And we do that across the board. So let's start looking at this differently. Let's take a different approach to this. Let's start understanding that, and again, here's the irony. One thing I did want to say. Here's the irony. If Lizzo ever fucking loses 100 pounds or 200 pounds, what's she going to say? She'll say, wow, I did that because I wanted my life to be better. Right? Because one thing's going to happen. She's either going to die early, dramatically early, right? She's going to shorten her life expectancy by a ton of years, or she's going to lose the weight and live longer. So she's either going to die early, prove my point right, or she's going to lose all that weight and prove my point right. Because she's going to look at herself and go, man, this is not what I want in life. I don't feel good. I want to feel good about my life. I want to feel better about not having to abuse vices, right? Abuse drugs, abuse alcohol, abuse praise to live the way I live. I want to be able to not do those things, abuse food. I want to be able to not do those things and still look at myself and go, yes, I absolutely love the person that I'm becoming. I love the person and the message I'm sharing with people. I love that I'm empowering people to go out and create more strength in their life, more resiliency in their life, greater levels of mental and physical fitness and clarity. Those things, that's where real impact occurs, right? That's where you really start seeing a change, not this bullshit, accept yourself, right? Love yourself, yes, but do things that challenge yourself, do things that allow you to prosper, do things that make you actively feel better and make you feel like you have control of your life, because you do. And you're the only one that has control of your life. And if you don't think so, it's time to reframe how you're thinking, right? Because if not, you're going to be waiting on people to help you out that really don't give two shits about you. So, all right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. Like always, if you enjoyed it, if it was valuable to you, feel free to share it, right? I'm in a situation with this episode where I can say whatever the hell I want and I'm not scared of any repercussions, or you might not be able to because, you know, you might be a little hand-tied with people thinking you're attacking fat people. So I get it if you don't, but if you want, share it with some, someone if you have the capability to do so. That way the message gets out and we can actually start making change for the better. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next episode of the Fear of Being Average podcast.